Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour 2 of 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Man, I'm live in New York on the road. Kirk Crosby's in studio. Incredible last hour with our buddy Terry Colafrancesco. MEJ.com is his website. If you want to check out that hour, give us a little bit after the show. We'll pop broadcast up for archives, and you can share it with your friends. All I'm telling you is just great stuff with Terry. We talked literally about the importance of this battle, this epic continuation of the war in heaven on earth today, and how it's between Jesus Christ and Satan. And I hope to be on the Lord's side, and I hope that we realize that a lot of people don't realize how pagan they really are, how they're participating in the problems of society, following the wrong master, if you will. But we also talked about, you know what, Nehemiah is a great example of a prophet who stood strong, who told the tale of liberty in his day in a meaningful way, following Christ all the way, and how Paul used to be Saul. And when Saul was Saul, Saul wasn't a good guy. But Paul, the converted man, was not the natural man of yesteryear, but was the follower of Christ. And that's what we need to do in our own lives, ladies and gentlemen. And Terry Colafrancesco artfully talked about that, as did we, in a meaningful way. We hope to influence you. We're talking about winning the hearts and minds of men and women all over the world. And we want to make sure that when we meet people, that they say, I want to be a Christian like that. Whether you're a Catholic, whether you're a Mormon, it doesn't matter. We're not interested in debating the keys to theology. We're interested in uniting Americans under this idea that God, rather than government, rules in the affairs of men, and that governments are instituted among men by the consent of the governed to bless us if we make sure the checks and balances are wisely used to put government in check, to make sure government is in a defensive measure, carrying out its appropriate ordained role. And that's a tough road to hoe, folks, but it's up to you and I to lead by example. We need true leaders to stand in this world. We need real leadership everywhere. Richard Mack, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thanks, Sam. I didn't know you were going to New York, but that's fantastic that you're there.
Yes, it is, sir, but it's hotter than all get out humid over here, my fellow.
Oh, that's
friend.
What I heard, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
It's brutal. I mean, I'm telling you, it's as humid almost as Florida and New Orleans is. I've never seen it like this in my other trips to New York, but this time it is very, very muggy, very humid. But you know what? A lot of good things going on in New York, and as Terry Colafrancesco laid out, you know what? There's a lot of wickedness in New York, there's no doubt. But there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things, too. Let's not underestimate our side and what we're really doing. There's a lot of good people, and they're engaged in a lot of great causes and a lot of great efforts. And let's not underestimate that reality either.
Amen.
So anyway, that's going on. So I'm on the road. I'm going to a family reunion in Pennsylvania. I'm going to New York City, which is what I did yesterday, and I'll be doing some. Over the next several days, I'm also going to upstate New York, or I'm going to Palmyra, New York. I'm going to go to Niagara Falls. I'm going to do the Maid of the Mist and all that kind of stuff. We've got a lot cooking, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're cruising around. We rented a minivan. And I maintain minivans are the best family vehicles in the world. Nevertheless, people think we're goofy when we drive around in one of these. But it's really an opportunity to spend time together as a family, to build memories, and to do some of these things. And sometimes I'm afraid that in the political world, us patriots, we get way too focused on things of the political nature. And we get way too focused on that we've lost so many freedoms to the point where we have this narrow tunnel vision of impending doom, of that things aren't going well and they're never going to go well again. And man, just stick a fork in it, for crying out loud. And I understand those feelings, but I also know to reject them. And I also know to step back and to get a new view and to realize there's so much good in the world, Richard Mack. There's so many things going right, even though I agree there's things going wrong, and I agree we've got to take action to try to change the course we're on as a country. I get it. And I don't mean to dismiss the importance of our efforts, but I do mean to broaden the horizons a little bit, and let's not be so one-track mind or so negatively focused that we almost create a little bit of self-fulfilling prophecy. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate view. I think it's a realistic one. I know on, I guess human nature is we focus on the negative more than the positive. Certainly, I think I was guilty of that as a parent. You know, the negative that your children do sometimes overshadows all the good that they do. I think in the country, same thing. I think Trump was touting that today when he was giving his numbers on his economy. The economy in America has been amazing numbers. If any Democrat had ever had these kind of numbers, they would have built a national monument to that Democrat president.
Well, by the way, let me stop you right there. As I flew into John F. Kennedy Airport, JFK, I kind of thought, you know, all the liberals want to get rid of our icons, want to get rid of, for example, the Civil War relics, some of the statues and a lot of the different things like that.
Right.
What if we then do the same as the Democrats, and what if we just change the name of JFK to Trump Airport now?
Yeah, to a no-name airport, you know. Don't put any politician on anything, you know. Just call it the New York airport on the west side of town, or you know.
Well, it'll be like NYCW, New York City West, right?
Yeah, right. And I'm not even sure it's on the west side. I've just kind of said that. But anyway, as many times as I've flown in there, I guess I should know that, but I'm not positive that's it.
But my point is, though, if we're going to take a page out of the liberals' playbook, we'd just simply say, hey, we don't need JFK on there. Let's get Trump on there. Let's just update that dude the way it needs to be. And
absolutely. And you know, no more Martin Luther King streets and no more Martin Luther King holidays and no more president's holidays. I mean, the honors that have been thrown and the honors that of Lincoln has been saturated with, and the Lincoln Memorial and him sitting on that
chair. It smacks of kind of a king idea, or that people are above the rest of us.
Right,
the whole nation
exactly.
was built on the contrary view.
Yeah, exactly. And I can tell you that Lincoln, with his entire attitude of if you try to leave the Union, we'll kill you. I find that astonishing that someone who took that view and actually took that action is hailed as a hero today.
I'm just kind of the don't hurt me, don't take my stuff mentality. No.
Well, exactly. No kidding. And Lincoln was the opposite, and I say a lot of this with tongue in cheek, but at the same time, it is a realistic view.
And what we mean by tongue-in-cheek, just to kind of clarify so everybody understands, you know, were we in his position, we don't know what we would have done, and it's very easy to armchair quarterback
exactly.
100-plus years later, right? We get that.
Yeah,
150
exactly.
years later, it's really easy to say what he ought to have done and everything else. At the same time, we're not tongue-in-cheek in that we are pointing out true principles, and, you know, there's a difference oftentimes in teaching to the ideal and living in the real. We do teach to the ideal because we're based on principles and we want people to think about it that way. When you live in the real, though, sometimes it's not as clean cut. It's not as easy to define. It's hard to understand. I am grateful, even with some of the missteps of Lincoln, that we do still have the Republic, though, that we did stay together as a nation. I'm grateful for that. And I think some don't realize that blessing and that benefit.
Right.
George Washington saw that we'd be a nation when the Savior came. And I'm grateful that we're still that nation awaiting the Savior. It's messy along the way at times, but that is the good piece, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I say the same thing. Lincoln did some great things, and Lincoln did some bad things. And you can actually point that out about some of the founding fathers as well. And so they were still people, and they were still human. And they were blessed by the Lord, and they did amazing miracles. But at the same time, some of them made tremendous mistakes. and so did Lincoln, and so you can find good and bad in everybody. And but for any Democrat or any American to attempt to destroy national monuments and to destroy the contributions of good people like Robert E. Lee, you know, there's just no way. And so I really take offense to what the Democrats have tried to do to destroy American history. They've attempted to rewrite history with a lot of different things. And I just don't, first of all, I will never, ever support slavery of any kind. And that includes the slavery that the Democrats promote today. But I will not ever support that. But at the same time, I also recognize that some of the slave owners were good people and had huge contributions in getting rid of slavery. Even some of the slave owners helped get rid of slavery.
Well, and you got to ask yourself a question, too. If you're born into a society like that, and let's say all of a sudden you turned 18 years old or of age, so to speak, and all of a sudden you were the owner of 300 slaves, and you inherited them and everything else. You know, you had grown up with these people, some of them you had played with as children, so you consider them really more friends than slaves, so to speak. How would you behave, and what would you do for them? We'll talk about that when we come back. Sam Bushman, Richard Mack, Kirk Crosby, how would you behave? Would you just free them, knowing that many of them might not be able to even make a living on their own? Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Richard Mack, writing Chuck Dunn, CSPOA.org, is his website. He articulated well, and we reiterate, in no way do we accept slavery in any form, under any circumstances, by anybody, to anybody. We reject it completely. It's an evil. It's a scourge. There's no question about it. Let's be absolutely clear on that point. However, I asked Richard Mack right before the pause if you were born into the slavery society and all of a sudden you were of age and you had 300 slaves that you had charge of or, quote, ownership of. I even reject the ownership notion of another person. But nevertheless, you know, what would you do for them? On one hand, if you free them all, you could get killed yourself, because there's such a hostile society around this, and et cetera. On the other hand, if you free them instantly, they don't know how to read, they don't know how to write. Many of them don't have a profession. Many of them don't have a start in life. And you basically free them and then say, hey, leave my property. Now, how are they going to make a living and survive? You've grown up with them all your lives. Many of them you consider friends and family, you know, nannies for the mothers. And I mean, it went on and on and on. The relationships that were built, it was almost like Aunt so-and-so was the slave, or, you know, cousin so-and-so, even though I get that you're not blood cousins. But it was like that growing up for many of these people. And, you know, what do you do for them? And in my mind, you teach them to read. In my mind, you eventually turn them from slaves into, hey, you know what, you're going to be work for me and you're going to get paid. And you slowly but surely create this emancipation, but yet with kindness, with a hand up, not a hand out, but a way that gets them to move forward. And the reason I say that is, in contrast to today, what we do is we put them in these hoods where it's no good for anybody. And I think we need to be wise to say, you know, having all these fathers on drugs and leaving homes and studs to make babies, but yet these mothers on the government dole, I'm not so sure that's a better plan. In fact, I say it's a much worse plan. There are ways to go about it and ways not to go about it. And there are ways to do this with love and to truly create the freedom that we want for it. And I say all, again, all. And that's kind of where we stand, but it's a tough question. What would you do in that scenario, Sheriff?
You know, Reconstruction was a horrible time in American history, and I'm going to say it was a result of the worst thing that ever happened in American history, and that is the 700,000 that were killed during the Civil War, and the Civil War in and of itself, and the inhumanity and cruelty on both sides, and, of course, families fighting against families and brothers against brothers and so on. It was a horrible, horrible time. If you could imagine a Civil War in America today, and that going on, and the killing, and the distrust. You couldn't trust anybody. You couldn't trust your neighbors. You couldn't trust your friends and family. And
by the way, if you ask Steve King and others, they say that's going to happen again, and it's coming. I pray they're wrong, but I submit they may be correct, sir.
Yeah, it appears that we certainly could be headed that way. But the Reconstruction time, and you're absolutely correct in the point, what do you tell black slaves to do? Okay, you're free. Goodbye. What are they going to do? Well, of course, a lot of them moved to the industrial areas in the north, the big cities that had factories and whatnot and needed manual labor employees. So, but many could not, and many did not. And many tried to do their own farms and tried to assimilate into the cultures. And, of course, that created the KKK and other abuses and horrible things continued. It's really sad and amazing that these things were so sad.
But it's also sad and amazing that the Founding Fathers, who literally set the stage to remove slavery, when you read the Declaration of Independence, they set the stage to remove slavery, and they don't get any credit for it. Now, I know what the Constitution says, but a lot of that was very compromised language to get it, you know, squared away and passed and accepted anyway. But they set the stage with the Declaration of Independence, and they set the stage with some of their lives. Many of them were freed slaves upon their death. You can say, oh, that's a cop-out. My response is, no, it's not. It's doing the best you can to say, hey, I might have been good to them and treated them fairly, and I know contractually they may have been a slave, but I treated them more like friends and family and took care of them. And upon my death, I don't want a despot to take control and abuse them. I want them to have their freedom. And, you know, it's a very sticky situation. And one of the interesting things that I find is those who recount history from the other side of this coin, when I say the other side, I mean those who believe that Founding Fathers were evil and just had ill intent and they hated women and hated blacks and hated, they don't articulate the detail that we are about the reality of the situation.
Right.
What do you do in that situation? How do you behave? How do you handle it? If you free 300 slaves, just for instance, on a whim, you're likely to get killed yourself.
Yes,
pretty
absolutely.
Soon they'll be calling you a slave lover, and you're going to get killed yourself. Well, that would do a lot of good, have 300 free slaves that can't support themselves, and now that the white man is dead, that doesn't help. Now, how do you navigate these rough waters of abuse by men? And I really think that a candid discussion should be had about this. Now, they even say, well, white guys won't talk about these things candidly. I will.
Yeah.
In fact, I submit that I ought to go on CNN and articulate this, because I can do a very good job articulating. Look, I'm not defending what they did. I'm not defending what happened. But I am defending, how do you deal with when you're in those kinds of situations? What are the answers? How do you create freedom in a real sense? Granting somebody freedom that they'll lose tomorrow, or granting somebody the permission to, quote, fail when they don't have the wherewithal to succeed, is not the kind thing to do. It's not the brotherly love thing to do.
No. Yeah, and I think the reality of the situation needs to be discussed and should be. You know, it wasn't just a black and white issue of going from slavery to liberty the next day, and it was a wonderful thing because now they were free. It wasn't necessarily wonderful, and it was a very difficult transition. And like I said, Reconstruction was horrific in a lot of different ways because of the poverty that it did cause among the freed slaves, and the problem with the plantations continuing to be able to be successful businesses without the slave labor. And so everybody went through a huge transition. It was a huge problem. This is something we study in our class. And I think talking about the reality of that transition and Reconstruction is appropriate, and we don't need Democrats or others, I don't care who it is, trying to rewrite history and trying to tear down monuments as if that's going to do something.
What we need to do is let those historical realities serve as reminders that we don't want history to repeat itself in the negative ways, and that we do want to stand for what's right, and that we do want to talk through the best solutions and the best answers. I really believe this is a critical discussion. Believe it or not, there was a lot of white slaves, too. Did you know that?
Yeah,
and
the first
slave owner in America was a black man. Did you know that?
And when you study that,
NPR actually did a whole history, a whole series on this, and there's some people that have written books about the white slaves in America, too. How come no one talks about that?
Well, blacks owned, there were black Americans who owned slaves as well, and black
Correct.
Slaves. And many blacks participated in the slave trade and made a lot of money off of the slave trade. And so, I mean, let's compare that to how many Mexicans are exploiting Mexicans with this immigration stuff. And the evil things that are happening to Mexicans and other Latin Americans who are trying to cross the border is happening from other Latin Americans. And so, I mean, it's there. It's black and white. And I will say this again. The problem with families and children being exploited at the border is not Donald Trump's fault. And that the people who are protesting this continue to ignore the people who have caused the problem really baffles me. And it's Mexico who has created this problem that makes people run to the United States of America. How is it that that problem is ignored, for heaven's sake?
Well, and that's why we want to make Mexico great again, too. That's why we want to basically help them. But, hey, why don't they have jobs in their country? Why don't they have enough freedom to be happy and prosperous in their own land?
Right.
Why aren't we talking about these things?
Right. I don't know, because we have a dishonest press. And first of all, this is all being used as a political agenda and political ploys. And again, I want to talk about the truth, and I want to talk about what is really happening, what has caused these problems, and my goodness, that is being ignored now. I find it more than astonishing. It is baffling. It is amazing. But then when you consider how the hate goes with political agendas, and how political agendas are more important than the truth, and how all of it is manipulated and exploited for political gain. Yeah, it just makes me distrust Republicans.
And is keeping the people down with propaganda another form of slavery?
Well, of course.
On that question, we'll come back and have Kirk Crosby weigh into this, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Stan Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Richard Mack on your radio. CSPOA.org, thefreedomcoalition.com. Back in a flash on your favorite talk station.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to hear
that. So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back to the live. Kirk Crosby is with us. I'm live from New York. Pardon all the background noise, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff Richard Mack with us, DSPOA.org, TheFreedomCoalition.com. Check out those websites, learn more, get involved, would you please. And Kurt, what do you think of this whole topic, this discussion?
Well, when you look at the situation we're in and where we find ourselves, you know, I constantly come back to the idea that says, hey, man, it's a target-rich environment. We have so much that can be done, and we have plenty of good role models in today's world. We have folks that are constantly doing the best they can to improve and to move forward, and whether it's our good listeners that encourage us and give us examples from far and wide across the world, to of course our guests like Sheriff Mack and so many others that encourage us. And we hope that ladies and gentlemen, you get encouragement and I guess you could say role models from these good folks. When you look at our president, nobody ever said he was perfect, but man, I'll tell you what, he, like all of us, can try on a regular basis to improve. And when it comes to these race relations and these our past history of slavery and these different things like this, hey, no one ever said we were perfect. We all have need to improve. And man, it's nice to know there's work to be done and good things happening in America and the world.
And one thing I want to mention, and then we'll turn it over to the good sheriff, Richard Mack, once again. You know, I know that there's a lot of problems in America's history. Okay, from the slavery issue to the way the Indians were treated. I think in 100 years we're going to look back and say we made a lot of progress on that, but then the IRS is sure abusive. And, you know, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is sure abusive, and the Bureau of Land Management is sure abusive. You know, we're going to basically replace the slavery of old discussions with abusive government alphabet soup agencies discussions. But you know what? No matter the mistakes, and I don't mean to gloss over those mistakes, they're important never to repeat. I'm going to say that again. They're important never to repeat. And that's why I think that a lot of these historical reminders, we ought not engage in historical revisionism, that's for sure. But we need to realize, let these things serve as reminders of the mistakes we made so that we never make them again, so that we can teach correct history and teach people to behave better, to act more like Christ. But I bring all this up to say, even with the mistakes we've made, even with the dark spots on Americans' flags or history or whatever you want to say, you know what? America has brought more freedom, more safety, more protection, more stability, more happiness, more prosperity, more civility, more patience, more kindness. I mean, I can go on and on and on with the descriptors than any other nation in history, bar none. And to that, Sheriff, I'm grateful.
Well, amen. And that is a powerful statement that you just made, and I believe that politics is destroying our country. It is the one politics, and the politics of hate is what is pushing us towards another civil war. It certainly has caused a huge divide in our country, and what the left, the extremist leftists are doing in this country in promoting violence as a means of destroying free speech and peaceable assembly, and that the root causes of this huge problem is being ignored by the press, or actually the press is supporting it. And the types of things that Maxine Waters and other politicians are promoting in our country, promoting this hate. The school starts for us next Wednesday, and the first thing I'm going to talk about is that the best way that we, as Americans and as students and scholars, get rid of this is first we clean our own hearts, and we cannot be part of hating anybody. You know, I don't care where it is, whoever you are, whatever race you are. Whether you're white, Hispanic, black, or anything, Asian, in between, I don't care what race you are, American, Native American. I really don't care what race people are. What I do care about is that we come together as a people, that we don't hate somebody because of the color of their skin. We don't blame whites for what has happened to us, or that my problem is not outside and white. My problem is not outside and Hispanic or brown. Our problems are as Americans. Our problems are working together. Our problems are making sure that we don't participate in the hate that is being promoted by politicians and by the media, and that we turn this thing around and we start with me, and we start with our own hearts, and we start with our own families, and that we branch out from there, and that there is absolutely no way we allow this hate being promoted by both sides. But I'd say right now the left is more guilty than the right on that, but there just can be no more hate, and we've got to stop that. We've got to recognize it, and we've got to call our leaders on it who are promoting it.
And we need to be very clear, too, that we share this principle, and that is this. It's not that white people are perfect. It's not that white people have the corner on liberty and stability and safety and civility and all these things. Okay, it's the principle that our founders taught, which is we turn to God, not government, for our guidance, for our protection, and it's to him that we owe allegiance, to him that we owe fidelity. And when he asks us to keep the commandments of God, if we do, we'll be blessed, and if we don't, we're going to reap the whirlwind and suffer the consequences. This is simple, and these principles can apply to any peoples on the earth. And I hope that Mexico can adopt the principles that made America great, because it can make Mexico great. And I hope the Chinese can do the same, the Japanese, you know, whoever, any of these countries, any of these cultures, any of these peoples, any of these ethnic groups can be authentic in understanding these principles. We don't have a corner on it, Sheriff. If we disobey the principles and turn our back on it, we will sink as a nation. And if they obey those principles in their nation that our founders hit upon and articulated and embodied in the Declaration of Independence and the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, if we don't obey the principles and they do, they'll be blessed and we won't. This is a very simple principle. And I know they want to tell you that I'm a racist for preaching it, but I disagree. It applies to everybody everywhere. When you keep the commandments of God and you use checks and balances to protect the people from tyranny and from despots and others who would try to create too much power individually or as a group, you know what? You do well to protect yourselves. You do well to create a safe, defensive nation that's based on principles. And we need to articulate this because I think it's really the key to the exercise. I hope they can make China great again. I hope we can make Mexico great again. I hope that, you know, all these things happen for these nations, and it's based on correct principles here. And we, as whites and or Americans, don't have a corner on it. We just happen to have used it more than other nations and been blessed as a result. But the principles are clear, and I pray that's our greatest export, these ideas that make countries and peoples great.
Well, it all boils down to countries and governments respecting human rights, and that has to be first. And the people have been so oppressed for so long that it has destroyed the middle class. There's basically no middle class. It's just the aristocracy, the rich against the poor, and they keep electing aristocrats as in their government and as presidents, and they continue to promote the lack of land ownership and the lack of ownership of anything, and the creation of a middle class, and letting these people go and letting people create their own small businesses. Mexico is huge with natural resources and huge with tourism product, and it's ridiculous that they don't have a more thriving economy.
But it's because they don't follow the principles, though. They got to turn to God, not government, and they got to have checks and balances on those who would seek for and obtain power. You got to put a check on those folks. And the supreme law of the land, you got vertical and horizontal checks and balances that are, in my opinion, one of the great realities of limiting government. They tell you we're anti-government. They lie. We're for the proper role of limited government. That's what we stand for. Kurt, what do you think? I'm preaching to make all these nations great again.
Yeah, there you go, Sam. That's that kind of evil stuff you do, trying to make the world better all over again. Huh? Good work.
Hold on. We'll get to your point about Mexico in just a second, Mr. Sherman. We appreciate it. We'll give you time to fly in just a second. You are listening to LibertyRoundtable.com on your favorite news the network refuses to use, Talk Station.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Tagged with the Alliance, and the good sheriff, Sheriff Richard Mack, DSPOA.org, and thefreedomcoalition.com with us. Do you want to make another point about Mexico, Sheriff?
Well, yeah, the other huge problem is that they're so financially intertwined with the cartels. The drug trafficking trade in Mexico, and we could point fingers to other countries in Latin America, obviously, Colombia, Venezuela, but the problem with Mexico's government is that it's cartel-driven, and it's actually cartel-run. The money that the cartels have and that they pay off politicians and actually promote politicians with their money is huge, and it's about 10%. The drug trade is about 10% of their GDP, and so financially, it's really hard for them to break away from that. But the next president of Mexico, who might have the guts to stand against the cartels and correct that and get that scourge out of their country, will be the one to really turn this around. But at the same
time, order to do that, though, you'd have to have partnership with the United States.
The United States is complicit in some of that, and so we've had our own problems with our United States being part of the drug trade, and that they continue. The United States government continues to say we need to keep these products illegal and promote the black market that we created. We created the black market. We're the ones that made it illegal. Then other countries did as well.
Well, and if we crack down appropriately so that this doesn't happen, then these places wouldn't have near the market that they have, which spurred the whole exercise.
But we are the market. United States uses 25% of the world's drugs, yet we only have 4% of the trade. That's wrong. We use about 50% of the illicit drugs in the world, yet we only have 4% of the population of the world. And so we provide that market, and we need to address that. We need to get serious about it, and we've never been serious about getting rid of the drug problem. We continue to promote it with our laws of prohibition.
And in addition to that, we fuel it with our prescription drugs, where we literally hook people on these great opioids, and then basically, hey, these poor souls are left desperate when the, quote, candy runs out from our prescriptions to then, search for it elsewhere. We kind of create on the inside the need, the fueling of the demand, oftentimes, too, under, what we submit as doctor's supervision, right?
And then one other thing to throw into the mix, if there are any good natural things, then it seems like our government's got to fight against those to hold them off and keep them out of the
Keep the honey man out of the farmer's market and such, don't you, Kurt?
Well, yeah, that and so many other things, whether it's mangosteen or so many other good natural things
whether
that could
it's
be
chick
used,
weed.
You know. Well, that's right, you know.
Right, Sheriff, whether it's chickweed, you got to shut those guys down. Just the problem is it's dual nature, and that's what makes me realize it's not an accident. You know, when they literally shut down the good guys while they promote the bad guys, you kind of see an agenda happening, right?
Well, the FDA has been famous for that, and they've done it lots of times. Where, you know, they're actually trying to prohibit and regulate these herbal alternatives, and yet they promote opioids. And the opioid addiction in America has, you can lay that right at the feet of Congress and the FDA. So, yeah, it is scary that that has happened and that they have built a huge distribution center known as the FDA.
The good news, ladies and gentlemen, is we're on to them. The good news is the mainstream press gatekeepers can't protect them any longer. And the good news is more and more Americans are waking up to the reality in which we face. And at some point, there will be a sea change on this. We're hoping it starts with the president. We're hoping the president backs off the Food and Drug Administration and backs off some of these organizations, these alphabet soup agencies. Sam Gerard, we're still trying to push for him to get released from prison. We need President Trump to grant a pardon in that regard for him. Immediate relief of suffering, if you will. But Sam Gerard is a real, I don't know what you say. He's almost one of the best case points. This gentleman from Kentucky, where's Rand Paul in the fight? We need your help, sir. But in Kentucky is really one of the sufferers of this. You know, you got the drug trade being protected. At the same time, you've got guys like Sam Gerard that are promoting the use of a natural salve and literally going to prison for it. You know, I don't know what are we to do is a good question, but how do we push this envelope? How do we help Sam Gerard get free like the Hammonds? That's our next quest, Sheriff, and we can't lose sight of it.
Amen. We sure can't. And I just forwarded you an email that I sent to Congressman Massey, who was talking about some other thing. And I just asked Congressman Massey from Kentucky, well, why is it that we're not doing something for Sam Gerard and other innocents in prison? Please tell me why you and no one in the Freedom Caucus, and please tell me why no Republican has lifted a finger to help these people, and tell me what you're doing that's more important. So I just sent that, and I CC'd it to Washington Post and to Fox News and to you. And so, yes, we need to absolutely do something about that. I also wanted to really give you a quick update on my wife. She had surgery Wednesday. And Wednesday after the surgery, she was doing fantastic. I bought her a little ice cream slush from Dairy Queen, and she was sitting up eating that, really liking it. Next day, she was supposed to come home. No, wrong. She really had us a scare. I left school, our in-service meetings, and I went back to the hospital. Her blood pressure went dangerously low, and they got a fix on that finally and corrected that, and she's supposed to be coming home today. So,
well, our prayers are that that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, you know how family problems are. They just seem to keep raising their ugly head, and you know, but we're really grateful that she's surviving and that she's doing well, and it was not a major health issue. It was a hip replacement, but now she's had both hips replaced, both knees replaced, a vertebrae infused a number of years ago, so she's had these operations, and it just seems like they keep happening because she's got chronic arthritis and her poor little body is just kind of wearing down. And so we're hoping that this is really going to give her some relief to where she can walk again. The doctor said she had one of the worst hips that he's ever seen. It was completely deteriorated. And so he says she will never run again, but she can walk again and ride a bike and go swimming. And we certainly hope that that's going to happen. She's been going through pain for the last year that's been excruciating and just unbearable, and it's really caused a lot of problems for her and for us, and it's been a long road, but we pray that this is it for her, and I'm hopeful that she's going to return to normal activity here within the next few days.
Well, partly the issue is money, too. It's an expensive proposition and stuff like that, and you know, you kind of hope there's better ways for that. Some of the Christian services are one of the greatest keys that I know of today.
Well, it's been amazing. You know, you talk about the free health care today. Believe me, this has not been free, and we've had to pay a lot of money into this. And it'll be all worth it, though, if we can get her back to some normal activity. It was really taking a toll on her emotionally, and me too, really. It is quite emotional when you see your wife in constant pain, and it's just been horrible. But we've put our faith in the Lord, and it's been really gratifying to see that the outpouring of support that she has received.
Perfect. Any thoughts, Kurt? We've got some of the best health care in the world, potentially, right?
That's right. And with all these new, you know, replacement parts, you could really sing that phrase, then it's a new dawn, you know what I mean? But anyway, it's amazing
it's
to think
dawn.
Of all the,
it's a new day.
I'm gonna have to tell Dawn you said that.
I know, I just couldn't.
He's gonna be my new Dawn. Yes, I love that.
That's
Kurt
right.
Couldn't resist.
But,
I might not give you credit for that. I might take
Well
that.
maybe Richard Mack is trading his wife in for a younger model. It's just the same woman.
Just yeah. Different new parts, you know. I mean,
yeah, all the new parts are new. That's for sure.
Well, you know what? We hope for a renewal of America, just to say. We hope for a renewal of our hearts and our minds as patriots, that we can lead out by example, that we will really take to heart the things that we've talked about over the last couple of hours in terms of how to treat one another kindly and respectfully, how to turn towards God rather than government for ideas, how to understand that we are in an epic battle. Battle between Jesus Christ and Satan himself for the hearts and minds of people worldwide. This is a continuation of the battle that started in heaven. Yeah. And, you know, we hope that we really can focus on our part. You know what? I don't have a big part. Maybe I've got a minute, tiny, tiny, tiny part. But you know what? If I can do my part well, and if you can do your part well, and then the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, this synergism can really start to get the snowball rolling. Because we certainly need moral people to stand up. We need leaders, Sheriff, like we've never needed them before.
Amen to that. And I do want to congratulate our president. Every now and again, I've criticized what he's done, but what he has done with the economy and what he has done to keep his word on that, and what he's done with NATO, and how he's tried to work with other countries. And how he has stood firm instead of acquiescing and being a wimp like Obama was. I want to congratulate Trump for his strong stand, for his strong leadership, and I think he deserves a lot of the credit for what has happened with the positive side of America in the last year, year and a half, and especially with the economy. I believe that he deserves the credit for almost all of that. My hat's off to him.
And I agree, and I think we need to move back to honest money if we really want to take this thing to the next economic engine level, so to speak. But they say it's over 4% growth now in the economy, and you know, if we're not careful, that'll heat up. So we need to kind of balance that. But you're right. There's a lot more jobs. There's a lot more hope in America. There's a lot more prosperity. There's less regulation. It's not enough, but it's an absolute serious start to making America great again. And what we really need is to encourage our representatives to support these efforts.
Yeah, absolutely. No kidding. And Facebook lost $119 billion yesterday. And as far as I'm concerned, those social media places can all drop off the map. I don't like them. I think they've been used to foment problems and even create crimes. And I really don't like Facebook. I don't use it much. In fact, I don't even remember what my account is. I think it has caused a lot of problems in America, and I'm glad he lost $119 billion.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We need to stand for the sacred cause of liberty, and that's what we do every day on your radio. We appreciate you being alongside for the ride. Thank you, good Sheriff. We'll chat soon.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, you guys.
The website, CSTOA.org. Become a lifetime member today. TheFreedomCoalition.com. And all I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today, and we declare this nation shall endure.